Corinthians 5, if you had, say amen. All right, let's look at verse number 10, and it's certainly, I know you're accustomed to stand when you read the Bible, so let's do that, and I believe that's a Bible custom found in the book of Ezra and in Nehemiah, and certainly it's a good custom to follow. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 10, we're going to read down to verse, I think we'll read down to verse number 15 tonight for the sake of time, and then get into the meat of this message. First, our 2 Corinthians, I said 2 Corinthians, didn't I? All right, I get a little Alzheimer's sometimes, so who knows, all right? But anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, and read down, follow along when you're reading down to verse 15. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. That he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Precious Father, have your will in your way tonight through the person of the Holy Ghost as he goes in and out of these pews and ministers in the hearts of those in which he lives. Lord, I'm thankful that we have the person of the Holy Ghost living in us who will guide us into truth and understanding, who will lead us into paths of everlasting life and righteousness and holy living. Help us, Holy Spirit of God, as we look at these words and recognize who our God is and what he demands and desires of us. Help us tonight to say yes to you, for we know you'll always lead us in the will of God, because you are God. I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd bless every heart. I thank you for the good pastor of this church. Lord, I love Brother Rich. He's my friend, and I'm proud of him, Lord, as just a man who's watched him and watched what God's done in his life. And I'm humbled and proud at the same time to know him, and thank you for what you're doing with him in this place. May the power of God and the presence of God abide on him as he leads this great church in paths of, Lord, certainly the glory to the Lord, but places they've never been before, and to honor the Lord and heights of glory to him. Oh, God, we pray that it'll be some marvelous days ahead for this great church. Now save the sinner that's nearest hell, reclaim the backslider, and help each Christian in this church tonight to do your will. And I'll be careful to give you the praise and glory. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen and amen. And you can be seated. As we certainly read the Word of God, you and I need to be convinced and understand that there will be a day of judgment, a day of accounting, a day of reckoning for every man, woman, boy, or girl. The day of accounting, the day of reckoning, of course, is an accounting term, a numbers term, a monetary term that helps us to understand the facts are going to be added up about us. And God is going to have the bottom line, the final say as to what's going to happen or what is it about our lives. The Bible very clearly says that it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the what, church? Say it with me, the judgment. That's Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed. Everybody's going to have that day. The Bible messages of judgment today, and certainly you hear it from this pulpit because you have a good pastor, a Bible pastor, but Bible messages of judgment are not very popular today. You're not going to hear it in the cappuccino church. You're not going to hear it in the rock and roll church today because they don't want to hurt anybody or offend anybody. And certainly by no means is it my duty or my intention to offend or hurt someone. But make no mistake about it, beloved. The Bible is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible is a sword as much as it is honey. Can I get an amen? The Bible is a rock and an anvil and all of those things and a hammer, all those things that we need to remember and understand that help us to be right with Him. A lot of denominational churches tonight would never preach on this subject. They're not even having church tonight, but they would never preach on the subject of judgment. And these poor people, individuals in these churches, fail to understand that God's negative message of a coming judgment to all mankind is, in fact, a very positive message that we can glean something from of the grace and mercy of God. You say, preacher, wait a minute, the negative message of the judgment is a positive message? Absolutely it is. Because every time God tells of His use of wrath and judgment on sin, there always seems to be accompanied with it the positive message of God's wonderful forgiveness to any and all who will heed His warning and turn away from sin and to Him. Can I get an amen? It's a positive thing. So the negative message of judgment certainly can be a positive message of forgiveness and redemption to those who repent. Now, there's two major judgments in Scripture that you can read about in your Bible, and I trust that you've had time in your life to read these passages of Scripture. We'll take a few moments to look at them tonight. Flip over to, if you would, to Revelation chapter number 20, the only book of the Bible that God says He'll give you a blessing if you'll read and study it, according to chapter number 1 in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. So, Revelation 20 and verse number 11, and the Bible brings us to bear and understand about the judgment of God, the judgment for the lost. I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Some of the most awesome, unbelievable words that man can gaze upon is found in verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Listen to me tonight, dear friend. I don't know your soul's situation tonight. The only person I know about is myself, and I don't even know myself very well. But I know there was a day when I was born again in the Spirit of God, and I know I'm not going to have to face this judgment. But maybe you're sitting here tonight, and friend, I want to warn you, you don't want to be judged there. For on that judgment day, just like the judgment seat of Christ, there'll be no appeals, no excuses, no blaming, no lawyer, no slick-tongued lawyer to come up and get you out of trouble, no hope, and there'll be no heaven for you at the end of the judgment, only the flames of the thing that the Bible calls the lake of fire, which is the second death. And the judgment that we're talking about in that is for the Christ rejecter. And listen, whether you reject Him outright, or whether you just say, I don't need salvation, it's my decision, or simply you just neglect the great salvation that God has offered mankind, you understand tonight, friend, you will still go to hell. It doesn't matter if your mama's saved, your daddy's saved, or what family you've been born into. God has no grandchildren. His sons come to Him by faith in His only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here tonight, and you're saved, is because you had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. And if you're not saved, blessed friend, you need to get that way tonight so that you can miss this judgment and gain heaven. Get a hold of that tonight. Oh, may God help us to remember that. But the second judgment is the one that we'll deal with this evening, the judgment of the saved. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, flip back over there if you would, please. Have you thumbing through the Bible a little bit tonight? You came to hear the Bible, didn't you? You know, I just don't have any sick stories to tell. All my stories end bad. So I don't tell stories. I don't have jokes, and nobody laughs at them anyway. And so if I'm funny, it's accidental. I'll guarantee you it is. I don't have any good stories. I don't have a lot of good illustrations. I just got a lot of Bible that I want you to have. And by the way, the Bible will change you better than any big old story. Somebody give me an amen on that right there. Amen. And so as we look in the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 10 down through 23, I'm not going to take the time to read it, but I trust that you will and have as a child of God. This judgment seat is recorded in 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 23, and it's often called the Bema seat. And it's a Greek language. In the Greek language, that is the judgment seat. It refers to the place where the rewards were given during the Greek Olympics. And since I have a problem with English, much less trying to deal with Greek, we'll call it the judgment seat of Christ. Amen? And where the place where Jesus, God, will judge His children. And you and I need to understand tonight, beloved, that everyone's going to appear before God and Christ at one of those judgments. And which one of those judgments that you will be at depends upon you, whether or not you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Neither judgment determines where you'll spend eternity. You determine that while you're living on this earth about what you do with Jesus Christ. If you're saved and you're going to heaven, and directly after the rapture, dear friend, I believe that you and I are going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ for why we did what we did in the body for the Lord Jesus. If you die in your sins and you go to hell, you'll be taken before before God at the end of that age to be judged for your sins. And the tragedy of it all, the horrible tragedy of it is that Jesus Christ already died and paid for your sins. And He wants you to be saved. And if you reject His payments for your sins, then God has no choice but to put you into that horrible place called the lake of fire. And so this message tonight, even though it warns the lost, this message tonight is for those who profess to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, much that we say about the judgment seat of Christ and heaven is all about rewards. And I'm all about rewards. And as I said a moment ago, if you bring the most visitors to church, we'll reward you. Or if you don't know if it's a reward or not, well, it is kind, I guess. We'll give you one of our CDs. You can use it as a frisbee. You can hang it from your mirror. I don't care. But work for the thing. It'll be good for you. But much of what we say about heaven is about rewards. We speak of seeing Jesus. And I'm all for it. Amen? I can't wait to see Him. I'm not kidding you, man. I can't wait to see Him. And oh, what a moment when we finally get to see Him. And we speak about mansions. Somebody says, build me just a cabin in the corner of glory land. You know what I say to that? You can have your cabin, sweetie. I said that one time at a church. Some little old gal come up and said, I like that song. And I said, well, that's not good Bible doctrine. She says, well, okay. Because your Bible says you get a mansion if you're a child of God. And I like that. I don't know about you, man, but I'm living in a stinking hotel room. I can't wait to get a mansion. Somebody say amen. I'm looking forward to it. And bless God, I'm going to have it one of these days. And I hope I live right next door to you to be a problem to you. Amen. But anyway, my dogs are going to come over in your yard and all that. Well, anyway, what a grand day it's going to be. It's wonderful. And we talk about rewards and we talk about joy and the street of gold and the trees that will bear 12 manner of fruits. And one of them is going to taste like chicken or a Krispy Kreme donut. Can I get a witness in it? Amen. But understand tonight, beloved, we very seldom hear much that's said about the loss of reward at the judgment seat. Very seldom do we hear about that. The things that we will lose there. All we're taught, and it's right, we need to be taught about the rewards end. And here's what happens when believers, all they focus is on the reward issue. We view it very much like registering in a contest and talking about getting into a contest where the main prize is $1 million. And then it has the second, third place, fourth on down the line prizes. And you know, you enter in and maybe you don't win $1 million, but you might win $10, and so that's good enough for you. That's great. At least I won $10. Always suffers a small disappointment that we didn't win the $1 million prize. That's how some of God's children look at the judgment seat of Christ. And that's sad. And furthermore, it's an unbiblical way to look at it. I want you to understand something, the truth concerning the judgment seat of Christ. If you're in 1 Corinthians there, flip back to 2 Corinthians 5, please, as we look at our text. And verses 10 and 11, we won't take the time to reread them. We just read them in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 10 through 15. But I want you to understand in the Olympic Games, there was a place of reward there that those that did well received a prize, a gold, a silver, or a bronze medal. And we understand that from even watching the Olympics in our day. Friends, listen to me. Many people would participate in these races, but only a few won the prize. You look at a foot race, and you can look at me and recognize that I'm built for speed. Amen? No, I'm not at all. I think I've been in a foot race a couple times in my life, and I didn't win. You can understand that. I always got picked last for volleyball, because I was a big target. Amen? I always got picked last for baseball. It's probably why I hate it, because I had to hit it to the center field fence to make it to first base. Amen? But I always got picked first for football and wrestling. Bless God. Amen? Boy, I'd do power slams and body slams and pile drivers and all that. Well, anyway. But, you know, I mean, we could be part of a foot race. And we have the winner, of course. He's smiling. He's victorious. He's won. But see those that didn't win in your mind's eye. Sure, they won a silver medal or a bronze medal, but they ran to win what kind of a medal? A gold medal. And you know what happens? Even the ones that maybe didn't win the bronze or the silver, they stand there and they're ashamed of what they did. They ran, maybe they fell, maybe they didn't finish, maybe they couldn't go on, but they feel ashamed because they didn't win. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Beloved, what a tragedy to suffer loss in heaven. What a tragedy it would be. That's no reward. Yes, you get to go to heaven, praise the Lord. But my mom used to say, you make it by the skin of your teeth. Anybody else ever hear such a statement? Made by the skin of your teeth. It's like a person running out of a burning building and escaping. Yes, they escape, but only with their life. Oh, Christian friend, that had not ought to be our estimation of the judgment. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, Brother John wrote, he said, "Now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed at Him, of Him at His coming, before Him at His coming." Oh, I submit to you that that verse teaches us that there will be some shame on the faces of God's children at the coming of Christ. And 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3 teaches that those that are truly looking for Jesus to come, the Bible says that every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Listen to me, a lot of people tonight sing and talk about Jesus coming, but the test, hear me, the test of whether one's truly looking for Christ's return is determined by how they're presently living their lives. Can I say that again so you get it? The true test of whether or not a person is really looking for the return of Jesus Christ is determined by how they're living their lives today. Are you getting it? Can I get an amen? You better understand this, beloved. I'm telling you that Jesus is coming and we're gonna be judged by Him one of these days, and we're gonna suffer loss if we don't pay attention to what the Scripture says. That's the purpose of this revival meeting. To rein us in. To rope us in back into what God wants for us, and to get our focus back on the right things. That's what revival meetings are about. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, here's another reason why you ought to consider this matter. The Bible says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls." Listen to this. "As they that must, which must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief." Hear me. "For that is unprofitable for you." One of these days, your good pastor is going to sit down with the Lord Jesus Christ, the chief shepherd of the local church. His under shepherd is going to sit down with the chief shepherd, and guess what he's going to talk about? He's going to talk about you. Are you listening, church? He's going to give account of you. He's not going to be able to fudge the numbers. He wouldn't do it anyway. He's an honest man. But he's going to be sitting before the one whose very name is Truth, right? So he's going to give an account of you. Beloved, do him a favor and give him the opportunity of being able to give an account of joy towards you. Because if he's able to, that accounts for goodness for you and a blessing on in your case and on your sake. I'm telling you, it's my duty to report to you that you need to obey the Word of God as He teaches the Bible and as you hear the Bible. And the reason and answer to that question is certainly in those verses. Understand this, beloved, your pastor watches over your souls. He watches over your life, and he watches you. And one of these days, he's going to watch you march up to the judgment seat of Christ to face the Lord Jesus. Let him have joy. Let him be in rejoicing. Let him be able to cut a flip. I don't know if you can cut a flip or not right now, but let him be able to cut a flip up in heaven when you get to come to the judgment seat and sit down with the Lord Jesus and start talking about your life, and you get ready to get your rewards. Let him stand up and applaud and say, "Yeah, they were one of mine. Hallelujah, they were faithful servants of God, always there, givers, tithers, helpers, workers. Jesus, they were wonderful servants of yours. I give my wholehearted applaud for what they've done for you." Let him do that for you, beloved, and let him do it with joy and not for grief, because it's unprofitable for you if he has to do it with grief. Unprofitable. Is that also another accounting term? Yes, it is indeed. Get a hold of these truths tonight, precious friend. This most teaching today from pulpits, and certainly not this one, but most pulpits today, they discount the fear of the Lord. We don't talk about it much. And I want you to understand, the fear of God is a reverential respect of God coupled together with a hatred of evil. The Bible says, "Wherefore seeing receiving a kingdom which cannot be removed, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." Why should we do that? According to verse 29 of Hebrews 12, because our God, hear me, look at me, our God is a consuming fire. Now, we use that verse a lot of times when talking to lost people, but I want you to understand that that verse in its context is talking to saved people. Our God's a consuming fire. You better be careful, precious friend, and I better be careful how we serve God. But today, God's love is stressed, and it should be, but we make little mention about how that God hates sin and will absolutely, absolutely judge it in pure and righteous, holy, undiluted righteousness. He will judge sin. He doesn't condone sin in our lives, and He will not allow it in our lives. He won't allow us to destroy the temple, which temple ye are, His temple, in the name of the Lord. The fact of hell's condemnation, certainly that is upon the lost, is proof of the judgment of God. And that's why Brother Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 11, that knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Oh, listen, beloved. As a preacher, I find myself these days, and maybe this church is above the bar. I don't know. Your pastor, all he does is talk good about you, but I'm sure there's got to be some imperfect people in here. Amen. But he loves you people, and that's wonderful, and I'm grateful. But as a preacher of the gospel today, many times I find I'm always just begging people to serve God. I should do that. But listen, no preacher should ever have to get behind a pulpit and beg somebody to do something for Jesus. Can I get an amen right there? No preacher should have to do that. Oh, please come soul winning. Please come to prayer meeting. Please come to these special meetings. Please give us some nursery workers. Please help us clean the church. Please, please, would you please do this? Beloved, please, in the name of the Lord, get involved in the local church. Most of Christianity today as a whole is not serving God like they should. They don't attend church faithfully, and they come when it's only convenient. And hear me today, beloved, this is an astounding but a tragic truth. Only 25 to 30% of Christians tithe, and even fewer than that give to missions. I'm telling you, I thank God that I believe this is an exceptional church, and praise the Lord for it. But in the name of the Lord, we can always do better. Somebody give me an amen right there. In most churches, only a handful of people are doing the work. I want you to know, beloved, the Bible says not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Oh, be part of what God's going on here. Don't forsake serving God. Don't forsake serving God together. And don't forsake assembling it together. Because listen, beloved, Jesus is coming. So how can we prepare ourselves for this thing and not have to fear the judgment seat? I don't want you walking out of here being afraid of the judgment seat of Christ. I don't want that at all. And I don't think that's what God wants for us. The Bible says that we don't have to be ashamed at His coming. Brother Paul, they're getting ready to hack his head off. In 2 Timothy, he can hear the sword being sharpened outside. He can hear the sword being sharpened outside of his prison cell. And somebody maybe, I don't know where the question came from, but maybe somebody said, Brother Paul, can you hear that out there? Oh yeah, I can hear it. What are you going to do about it? Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do about it. I'm not ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not unto me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. I'll tell you what, I want to be like that. And I want you to be like that. And that good preacher over there wants you to be like that. Say amen right there, brother. He wants that for you, and so does God. Oh, listen, we must be those people that Paul's talking about. And I'm telling you, friend, we need sound doctrine. We need the truth. But we don't need to be like those people he mentions at the beginning of the chapter number 4, those that won't endure sound doctrine. We need the truth of the Bible. And we need to be guided by God's Word and admonished into righteousness and right living. So what's the answer? Well, it's very simple tonight. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do it, friend. Don't hide your sin. Don't think that you're going to hide from God, because nobody is and nobody can. All of our sin, thankfully, has been judged and forgiven the moment that we accept Christ. But I submit to you that you and I need to have a daily, moment-by-moment cleansing. As soon as you know you've sinned, oh God, forgive me. Don't lay in your bed at night and lump all your sin together and say, Lord, if I've offended you today, what do you mean if you've offended Him? In the name of the Lord, what do you mean if? You did, so did I. And you sin, as soon as you sin, confess it. One of the old preachers years ago, they'd use these great phrases. They'd say, keep short accounts with God. Once again, another accounting term. Beloved, we're going to reckon with the Lord one of these days. We better get a hold of this truth. We better get a hold of the fact that we need to daily judge ourselves and be presented clean so that we can be presented clean at the judgment seat of Christ. It's there that all things that a believer's life need to be set right. Before, beloved, before we're presented as the bride of Christ of the Lord Jesus, Jesus demands, and yea, He deserves, a chaste, holy bride. Your pastor and I were privileged to be at a wedding this past Friday. No, we weren't married together, but we saw somebody... Come on, ha ha ha. We were able to observe a wedding this past Friday night. It was a blessing. My little niece got married. Bless her heart.
much.
Married a guy old enough to be your grandpa, but anyway, fucking. Did I say that? It was awful, wasn't it? Well, anyway, let's move on. Anyway, I was so pleased, and I know this little gal, and I've known her since she was born, obviously, and she stood up there in her perfectly white virginal gown. And I made mention of it. I said, see, she's a virgin, and she's presenting herself as a virgin to her husband, chaste and holy and right and righteous. I think that's a beautiful picture of the church and the Lord Jesus. Amen? Don't you want to be that way? Don't you want to be that way, church? Don't you want to be that way, Christian? Pure before the Lord. Oh, beloved, listen, He deserves that. And I'm telling you, friend, that's not going to happen until we get out of these dead and dying bodies and our motives for life and service are judged up there. But I submit to you, and I'm almost done, the unfaithful Christian is going to suffer loss there. It's going to be an awful time. Can you imagine with me looking into the eyes of the one who died for your sins with a heart full of bitterness and anger, a life of unfaithful service? An individual who did nothing for Him and didn't serve Him. And if he did ever serve Him, he did it for the pat on the back that he received from man. May God help us. I tell you, friend, there's going to be many that will be there that day because they failed to, as Brother Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, to discern the Lord's body. We fail to do that. And what happens is God's children today are making little of Christ's suffering and death for them. It's because they wouldn't serve Him faithfully. Oh, precious friend. How much better would it be to be among those that are mentioned in Revelation chapter 4 and verses 10 and 11 where it says in the 4 and 20 elders, that pictures the local church in the future days, the 4 and 20 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever, then cast their crowns before the throne saying, Oh, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things for Thy pleasure, and they are and were created. Oh, Christian friend, wouldn't it be better to be numbered with those dear friends that be able to take those crowns off of their head and lay them at the nail-pierced feet of the one who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? But those that suffer loss at the judgment seat, look at me and listen, will have nothing to cast at His nail-pierced feet. No crown to pass onto Him. They receive salvation. They were born again, yes. But oh, they have nothing to give to the Lord. Understand this, beloved, and remember what the Scripture says in Hebrews 10. Vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge His people. And that's not an idle threat from God. It's a picture of God's judgment on believers. And God means what He says. So what should we do with all this? What should we do? Confess our sin. See, revival, as I mentioned this morning, only comes when God's children get honest with God. And we put the hypocrisy away, and we take off the masks, and we put away the plexiglass, the plastic, the nothingness. We put all that away, and we get real with ourselves, and we get real with God, and we confess and admit our sin before Him, and stop fighting with God about it. We quit trying to justify ourselves with excuses. We quit trying to blame shift. We actually do repent and confess and forsake. Do it today, beloved. God help us as His children to repent of our unfaithfulness. There's unfaithfulness in this room in Bible reading, in prayer time, in soul winning, in gospel tracting. There's unfaithfulness in times of coming to church. And God help us to confess that as sin. That's not just missing, that's unfaithfulness. And God's going to judge that. Repent and forsake what secret pet sin is in your life. Forsake that. Repent tonight, beloved, of bitterness or an unforgiving spirit that you have that you're harboring towards somebody. Some friend, some relative, another believer, or maybe even have mercy. Maybe you're even bitter at God for something that He allowed in your life. God help us to repent of those. But furthermore, God help us to repent of not helping and exhorting one another as we see the day approaching. Say amen right there. God help us to repent of robbing God of tithes and offerings. God help us to repent of setting by and letting others do the teaching and junior church and nursery and church cleaning and soul winning. God help us to repent of not reading and studying God's holy word. God help us to repent of not praying and fellowshipping with God like we should. Oh, God help us, we husbands, to repent of not being the right leader at home and loving our wives like Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. God help the women in the room that are married to repent of not submitting and honoring their husbands and letting him be the leader in the home that God wants him to be. God help us as God's children to repent of not using, of using language that's not fitting for a Christian and telling nasty jokes and the like. God help us to repent of that stuff. It's a shame to do those things. Somebody say amen. God help us to stop lusting after the world and all of its hollow, empty pleasures. God help us to repent of that stuff. God help us to repent of being unethical or unspiritual in dealing with other people. God help us to repent of being unkind and unmerciful and unloving. God help us to repent of being lying and stealing and any other sin. And if I missed your sin, you know what? You know. God knows. He's read your mail. He's read your emails. God knows about you. Somebody say amen. God knows about me. If I left you out, may God help us to let Him work on our hearts tonight. Because here's what it boils down to, precious friend, and I'm done. If we would judge ourselves, Brother Paul said it, if we would judge ourselves, say the rest of it with me, precious friends, we should not be judged. If we would judge ourselves, come on now, we should not be judged. If we would judge ourselves, come on, we should not be judged. It's in your Bible. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's just reasonable tonight. Can I get an amen? It's reasonable that we present ourselves back to Him. And so, let us consider one another. To provoke one another unto love and what? Good works. Hebrews 10, 24. God help us. The purpose of this message is very simple. Let us live and serve well. Let us have a true revival of this matter in our lives so that we're not judged at the judgment seat of Christ for leaving out what we should have had. Or for doing what we should not have. May God help us tonight. And you know, friend, in a message like this, sometimes people say, oh, I don't want to go to the altar if somebody's going to think I'm a sinner. Let me tell you, let me let you in on a little secret. Everybody knows anyway. Amen? It's time to put the pretense away. Too much pretense in God's people. I'm a deacon. I've got to look a certain way. I'm a preacher. Pretense. And it hadn't ought to be named amongst us as Christians. It's time to be real. The time for the pleather and the plastic and the silliness, it ought to be over in our lives. It's time to be right with God. It's time to be right with it. Maybe there's somebody in this room you need to go to tonight and say, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Forgive me. Maybe there's some people tonight need to call somebody that's not here and you've held bitterness in your life. How in the name of all that's holy do you think that God's going to give revival to this local church if you're an Achan sitting here with some bitterness in your heart? Come on now. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? God wanted to bless the nation of Israel. One man stopped up the blessing of God. 30 some odd people died because of his stinking sin. It's time to get honest before the Lord tonight, precious friends. The purpose of your dear pastor being understanding enough and discerning enough to call this meeting for this local church screams out the evidence that each one of us tonight need to be real with God. Holy Spirit led him to do this. May you please get in line and do what you're supposed to do now with what God has said to you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, please. No